are recording. So, good morning, everyone. It's Matt Defeatty with Realty Executives Elite Homes. Also, you can find me on YouTube.com at Living in Nutley. Or it's YouTube.com Living in Nutley. It's our YouTube channel. And also on Instagram at NutleyNJRealtor and the Matt Defeatty. And today, unfortunately, Jackie's on vacation. So, we have standing in for her today. Caitlin Dalton, right?
Is that how you say it?
Caitlin Dalton. She's been our marketing intern for 2 years or 3 years?
Two years.
2 years she's been, and she's a marketing major. And she's also, what's after millennial? You're not a millennial.
Gen Z.
You're a Gen Zer. Okay.
The best generation.
Mm. Yeah. And she happens to like stage, theater, and all the other fun stuff. So she loves being on this awesome podcast.
Yeah, I've been asking, guys.
So now's her opportunity to shine, because we're going to kind of dive into the Gen Z mindset when it comes to marketing. And this is a good conversation, because this morning I was listening to one of Gary V's, but you know who Gary V is?
No.
Oh, my God. One of Gary V's podcasts, and he was talking about, you know, Nielsen ratings. And back in the day, they used to get marketing metrics from what they call Nielsen ratings. So I know you're too young to understand this, but it was even before my time. They would actually give, they would call them Nielsen families. In the days of television advertising, they would actually give families this like little black box, and they would give like certain segments of the country these little black boxes, and they'd be called the Nielsen family. And that's how they got their ratings to who was watching their TV shows and everything and all other fun stuff. But that was when don't mind me, I'm just trying to fix my mic. That was when TV kind of ran the advertising world. It was television for a lot of years. So you're thinking back now from, I would say, 50s, you know, from the 50s to like the early 90s, television was king.
Even like early 2010s.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it was a little back more, because, well, let's think about the internet. The internet started to come of age around the mid 90s, and then 2000 kind of flourished. Now, so even I would say millennials were still being raised in an atmosphere where TV was the big thing. TV was very expensive as well. It was TV and print. Those were the dominating, well, TV, print, and outdoor. Those were the dominating advertising mediums that kind of dwarfed everything else for the last 60 years, 70 years, whatever it was, whatever it could be. So now, your generation, so Gen Z, I can't say it, Gen Z, you guys were born with an iPad in your hand. So yeah. From day one, I mean, think about it. You're 21 now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you were a baby, well, you were just on the cusp.
Yeah, I would say I got my first phone when I was 8. Okay. And I started using social media when I was 10. So.
And what was your first platform you went on?
Instagram.
Instagram was your first platform?
I've been on Instagram since 2012.
Hmm.
And before that, I feel like we were all watching TV still, all the Disney Channel, Nickelodeon shows.
It wasn't streaming either.
No.
No, it was just like Nickelodeon was the big thing at that time.
Yeah, and Disney Channel too.
And Disney Channel, right. That was the big thing, but it wasn't streaming. That's a whole nother subject, because that's another segment of marketing as well. And the reason why we're talking about this, it is applicable to what I do. It is applicable. My background is a marketing background, and it is applicable to our business when we're marketing properties. And different generations see different things. And you can see, we become like a mobile-first environment. Mobile-first, meaning there's more views on mobile devices than there are on desktops. The other thing is, we've adapted to video. Hmm. Think about sites like, well, TikTok, right? Even like Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels. We become like a video-first. That's what we do. We're a video-first marketing company when it comes to selling real estate. So Gen Z's preferential social media platform. Let me see if I can guess it. I'm thinking TikTok.
Yes.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Is Snap still in the mix?
Yeah, but I wouldn't really say for branding unless you're like a celebrity. Like for the most part,
Snap didn't Snap kind of like leave for a bit and then they kind of reinvented themselves, or
all the apps are trying to just be each other. So Snapchat's guilty of that, where it's trying to be a little bit of Instagram, a little bit of TikTok, but I think everyone's on the same page of leave TikTok on TikTok. Leave Snapchat on Snapchat. So I think they're just kind of back to just personal use.
Now, where does LinkedIn fall in on this?
I didn't have a LinkedIn until last year.
And really?
I feel like my age group is just now slowly getting into LinkedIn. Like, I don't think a lot of my friends have it, but some do.
Well, LinkedIn's trying to make that bridge now, because for years, like, it was originally the first social media. Well, let me go back a little bit. I mean, the first social media platform I was ever on, it was called MySpace.
Oh, I didn't have it. I just missed MySpace.
MySpace, I don't even know what happened to MySpace. But then there was like Friendster.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's another one. So then Facebook kind of took over. So I primarily run on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. I'm on TikTok also. And then I'm also experimenting with several others, which are Lemonade.
Mm. Oh, I have that for my new house, actually, at school.
Lemonade is a product by TikTok. Then there's also Clapper.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Don't forget Twitter. I still have Twitter out there.
Yeah, I was going to say Twitter I would put before Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat I have, but haven't really done much with it. The Snapchat interface was always confusing to me. My daughter uses it, and she's your age. She's maybe a year or two younger, but she used it to communicate with her friends, like almost like a text messaging device.
Yeah, that's
like,
you know, what I would use it for.
So we're going back to the original subject. Now, all these devices have taken away from the prowess of TV and television marketing, the way we know it. Now, I don't watch regular program TV. I stream everything. Everything is streamed.
Me too.
I think it's and that's the thing, like, you can navigate around the commercials. Mm-hmm. And then you see now the streaming channels are coming up with different products where they kind of embed the commercials in there if you want them. Like, if you look, like,
Product placement.
Yeah. Well, that's a different thing. HBO Max. Well, it was called HBO Max. Then they took it and now they just call it Max. And it's an umbrella channel with all the everything underneath it. And if you want this level of HBO for $10 a month, you're going to watch commercials. Mm-hmm. And if it's $15, no commercials. So they got a premium. It's, you know, television advertising is still out there. Print advertising is still out there. I don't think it's ever going to go away. But I think the dominant force when it comes to media these days, social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, Instagram, TikTok. Look at the rise of TikTok, how crazy it went.
Yeah, right? People are making full careers off being
People are making careers content. Being content creators, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And TikTokers are, like, going on the red carpet and being invited to, like, the Met Gala, which is normally an A-list celebrity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you follow all this stuff, I guess?
Yeah, honestly, not as up-to-date as you would think I'd be, but I know the big, big content creators.
So you go to school, your major is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are the curriculum at your college, are they embedding this social media part of it? Or no, they're like, no, traditional marketing, we need to KPIs, blah, 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 and all that other nonsense.
No, I would say they're embedding social media. There is only one actual social media focused only class, and I wish there was a little bit more. But I just took advertising and PR campaigns, the course was called. So we had to, like, make a campaign through social media. So it definitely does get embedded. And we do talk about how TV is kind of not old news, but on its way out. And social media is completely taken.
But you like the marketing aspect of social media.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Because that's what you've been developing for the last couple of years. And you see, you've been here for 2 years. You see the difference in real world application.
Yeah.
And what theory is. Mm-hmm. You know, I had the same thing, theory and real world application. And then you have to put it into the mix of what industry you're in. Like, there's still, like, I was in pharma and financial. So when I was at that point in my career, we were totally staying away from social media because of regulatory. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different ballgame. Now I'm starting to see it crack a little bit. I'm starting to see from a branding perspective, you know, companies like JP Morgan are using tools like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook to build brand. Pharmaceutical firms, which was a no-no, never go near social media because of regulatory issues, they're starting to use it for brands also, mm-hmm. you know? So I think when I first started getting clients on board with social media back in 2005, and it wasn't practical yet. People, you know, the problem with social media is people want metrics. Like, how many clicks did I get? How did it convert to how many sales? That's not social media.
No, it's a process.
Well, social media is more of a brand and awareness builder. Mm-hmm. It's not click here, get a client.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. And that was a problem I was having with a lot of my clients at the time. But they were in the medical field. They were mostly cosmetic surgeons and people that were concierge-type medical services that did not take insurance. Because that's how doctors make their money, by taking insurance. But a plastic surgeon, there's no insurance.
Yeah.
They have to market in order to get people to come to them. So that was one problem. But social media is a brand and awareness builder. That's the way I see it.
And I think a lot of business owners are finally now catching on to that.
Yeah, because I used to get a lot of requests back in the day, like the mom and pop, hey, build me a website so I can get more customers. Well, it's not really how it works.
No.
You know, social proof is a big thing. I'm a big believer in social proof. It's how I built my office, my business. It's social proof. Just listed, just sold, blah, blah. You know, what's coming, what's out there, awareness, you know, information. Social media is one of those things, if you're using it in business, you have to put out a lot of content and wait. It's not a direct mail piece. It's not a direct selling piece. And there's all these different social media marketing campaigns out there that drive people towards funnels. I don't know if they talked about the marketing funnel yet in your...
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, the marketing funnel is pretty simply, if you think of a funnel and you got three bands like that, there's awareness.
Yes.
Education and nurture, and then there's transaction. It's right there, actually.
Yeah.
See?
No, they've touched on this.
Yeah, and that's important because with your customer segments, you know where they are in the funnel, you know, at that point. But we're getting off topic a bit. So the whole thing here was, so within the next 10 to 20, no, you're 21, within the next 10 to 15 years, you guys are going to be the big population that are buying homes. And so let's talk about trust factor from a younger generation. Okay? If you're 21 right now. If you were to go out and make a big purchase like a home, and you met two realtors, all right? You met one that was your age, right?
Yeah.
With very little experience. Then you met one that was my age with a lot of experience. Now, even though that one's your peer, that 21-year-old, who's the one you're going to trust with your money?
That goes back into the social media. You would have to really do your research, and whoever has better reviews, who is
good point.
Branding.
So, do you think people actually? You think reviews influence customers' decisions?
Yeah, they influence mine.
Well, that's a good point.
100%.
You don't see. I think they do also.
Yeah.
I think they do also, but there's been some occasions where a vendor had good reviews and I've used them, and the experience was just horrible.
Well, that's another thing too. Now, you know, like sponsorships on social media, how like people get sponsors.
Yes.
I myself have gotten like a brand reach out to me and be like, we'll send you this shirt for free, and in exchange, leave us a good review. So even the reviews aren't full.
That's my point.
Like
some of the reviews are skewed.
Yeah.
Like, remember when you got sent the...
Oh, my gosh.
when you got sent the self tanning stuff and you turned orange, was it?
Yeah, it was the sponsor that sent me a self tan, and it was like a self tan mask. So they were like, leave it on overnight and wake up the next day and like, you have a nice tan. And I woke up and I looked like an Oompa Loompa. I was like, oh my god.
What was your review to that product? Did you give it did you give it a realistic review? Like, hey, I put this stuff on, I turned orange.
I had to make a video, so they saw in the video. And I had to make a TikTok.
Were you pissed off in your video? Like, no, I'm orange?
Like, I was just like, it's not really for me. Because I'm also like very pale, so maybe it wouldn't be as orange. I'm somebody who is a little bit more...
Do you get these endorsement deals all the time, that reaching out to you, doing things?
I did a lot last year, and then my TikTok got hacked. So I lost a couple of them. But now I get them every once in a while.
You don't get them on Instagram?
No, I do. Like, I get, most of them were TikTok, though, because I was, my platform.
So you like the idea of being an influencer?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Now, let's talk about that, because that's a big part of marketing as well. So, micro-influencing.
That's a huge thing, pal.
I know. I know what you think. I am a micro-influencer in Nutley with real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a micro influencer. That's the way I see it. When you're talking about that, maybe a couple of years ago, when you had people like Kim Kardashian, right, where she charges $20,000 for an Instagram post. I think that was a number when I last heard. It was like 20 grand for her to, you know. Now, she has a following of how many millions of people?
Millions of people.
Right? That's a lot of power. Mm-hmm. When you have that kind of following, you know? And I'm sure that brands reach out to her all the time and are just throwing money at her just because of her influence, you know? And it's the eyeballs on their product. And that's what goes back to me with marketing. I'm selling a home. The more eyeballs on anything, that's been the name of the game since advertising was invented.
Yeah.
And now it's all changed, but it's all the same. Meaning it was TV, print, billboard, direct mail. Now it's digital media, social media, influencers, and so on and so on. Like, some of these influencers could be their own ad agency.
Yeah.
You know, like a Kim Kardashian deal, or who else is a big influencer out there?
Any celebrity, but then there's also people who became famous from being influencers. I don't know if you're going to know them, though. If, like, Charli D'Amelio... She is about a year or two younger than me and started on TikTok, I want to say, like, 2019, and now, like, has her own makeup line, her own reality
So they started on TikTok,
yeah.
Got fame from being an influencer. So why can't everybody do that? Why can't everybody just be an influencer? Why can't...
I think right now, first of all, everyone knows how to do it.
Okay.
There's a step-by-step process, but I think right now... Everybody kind of wants to be, so everybody's playing the same game. Like, I'm seeing reels constantly this year for the first time, where reels, I feel like maybe 2 years ago, weren't a thing. And I think it's so competitive now.
What about YouTube Shorts?
I don't think Gen Z's really on YouTube as much anymore. I think that's kind of millennials and up.
Okay, so so Gen Z's gravitate towards Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, our attention spans are this big.
Well, yeah, all our attention, yeah, because of these products, right. And I'm glad you recognize that. You have attention span of a goldfish.
Yeah.
That's basically it. That's what every Gen Z, but you need to know that market, because the one that's coming after you is going to be way different.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. The next generation, I don't know what they're going to call it, but...
Alpha it is.
Alpha?
Yeah.
That generation...
Like, your son's, I think, Gen Alpha.
...may be our nightmare. So we don't know what they're going to be doing.
Those are really the kids who are like fresh out the womb and an iPad in their hands.
Yeah. Well, my daughter was she's a couple years younger than you. She, her first phone, she wanted a phone when she was like 7. So I went and bought her like a Walgreens kind of paid for a credit thing.
Yeah, mine was like a slide.
Yeah, and then she was complaining because she couldn't text with it. Eventually, she was 8 years old and she had an iPhone. But now she's like, that's all she does. That's it. Her whole life right there. Mm-hmm. Phone, 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 phone. You know? This conversation was more interesting than I thought. Because now we could see, if we're going to get the perspective of a younger crowd like Gen Z, where do they put their trust? Let's look at that. When they go to make a decision, say they are going to buy a product or service, what's their go-to?
Influencers.
They don't go on Google and start looking, researching?
I think if they have an influencer that they really love, and that influencer, all they have to do is be like, hey, here's this, I love it.
So skincare products are influence. I know that, like, all kinds of cosmetics. I get that, but I'm talking about like you're going to go to a new restaurant. You want to go someplace to eat with your friends. What do you do? What's your process? Do you go on Google right away? Do you go to some other site? Do you go look at, where do you look?
I honestly, if I was like looking for a restaurant, like if I didn't have a restaurant in mind yet, I think at first I would go to TikTok and be like, restaurant
really?
Here.
Really?
And then after that, go to Google.
So you would use TikTok before Google and TikTok would be your site.
If I didn't have a restaurant in mind, if we had a restaurant already picked, then I would just go straight to Google.
So you're sourcing TikTok for ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, you and your friends, we're going to Hoboken. Let me go to TikTok and Hoboken restaurants. That's how you would do it. And then from there, then you would do your Google search.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a couple days ago, I want to go to Nashville.
That's interesting.
For fall break. And
that's
a couple
interesting.
Days ago, I went to TikTok first to find Nashville hotels.
I'm finding this interesting because, like, when I want to learn about an area, say I want to go to Utah, I'll go on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'll look for living in Utah or, like, I do living in Nutley. So you would say go to TikTok and see. That's an interesting way.
We were really big on YouTube in like early 2010.
So TikTok for you guys, it's the go-to?
For the most part, I think so.
Interesting. I never thought about using TikTok that way.
Yeah.
Hmm. I kind of just scroll through TikTok and it entertains me. I don't really use it, source it for information.
No, it's like very much source of information, I feel like. At least for Gen Z.
And what do you think is going to happen? Do you think the government's going to shut it down?
They've been saying that since 2020,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like that threat's going to happen every once in a while, but...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got some really good insights here in this. We're going to have to bring it back again.
Wow.
Look at that. We're at our 20-minute mark, and that was our segment without Jackie today. That was a weird noise, wasn't it?
Yeah,
what was that from? That. I was like, what is that noise? But again, this is we're sitting here with Caitlin Dalton. She's our marketing intern for Realty Executives Elite Homes. I'm Matt DeFede with Realty Executives Elite Homes. And that was our latest episode of In the Nut. Hope you enjoy it. See you next week.